There are two prominent and poignant stories of the Nativity in the New Testament. The first and most widely read, maybe from Linus most poignantly, is from the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2, but John's Gospel also has a metaphorical Nativity story, and I'll get to that a little bit later. But first, from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard as it was told unto them. Oh, and there's Matthew's gospel too. We need all of them to get the story straight. In Matthew's gospel, they were led by the star. The light in the sky that they didn't immediately recognize, but that moved as they were moved by the quest to find where Jesus was. And the star came to rest over the place where they found the Lord. They found the Lord under the starlight. They tell me that the moon will be full on Christmas. People in the healthcare industry tell me the effects of the full moon are starting to kick in right now. Things are getting a little weird, a little flaky. I'm glad there's a full moon this Christmas because it will be unmistakable that the light in the sky shines over the place where you find Jesus. You find Jesus underneath the starlight. You find Jesus bathed in the moonlight. Well, where is that? Well, it's lots of places. But I've been trying to pay attention lately, and I will tell you that there is at least some starlight over KCBD Channel 11 in Lubbock when they run the Pay It Forward program. Have you seen this? Carrie Allen and one of the local businesses in town provide $300 a week, and Carrie flags somebody down, and they find somebody, and the only question that they ask is, who do you know that could use a little lift, $300 worth of a little lift? And then they film the story and they edit it, and it's usually uncommonly poignant and touching. To pay it forward, all we want is to tell you that you're worth a little effort here. You're worth a little something special. And these are typically people that have been struggling. And a couple weeks ago, the $300 came to a single parent of five children. And, you know, $300 is what it is. And it goes some distance, but not a long distance in most of our lives. But for one with five children to suddenly have $300 meant that that divided by five could be $60 worth of Christmas. And it's just a small thing. But you know, the small things matter when it comes to giving a gift. And that's true, I think, for all of us, if you sort of catch the spirit of it. We all exchange gifts. And, you know, we know that we gave so-and-so this and they gave us that much back. But we sometimes get gifts. And when we receive them, it's abundantly clear that the person who chose to gift us in this way thought about us for a while, tried to figure out a little bit, what do they really enjoy? What do I know about them? And how can I extend to them this gift of love that may not be of great cost, but will be of immeasurable value? Because what comes with it is the sentiment of love and hope. It's a starlight, that little gift. That little gift where the value far exceeds the cost. It's a starlight, and under that starlight, that's where you find the baby Jesus. I think you find him somewhere else, too. Have you got one of these in your house? These little deals here? This flashlight is a starlight, this particular one in our house. We've got about six of them. And every time the kids come, the grandkids or friends or people we know from town, the one thing they like to do is to find these things. They know where they know the drawers where they turn them on and they play hide and seek with them. And then they play find the cat with them, find the cats with them. And they have huge fun with them. And then we find them under the bed or behind the TV or in another drawer someplace or behind the wastebasket. And we find them and they're burned out because the kids use them and then just leave them on. You know, and we find flashlights that don't work. Well, those are starlights. Flashlights of kids enjoying the moment, playing hide-and-seek, finding who knows what in the nooks and crannies of our house, finding each other, you know, and then running the batteries up. Well, it's our job when the kids leave until they come next. Well, it's to recharge and put the batteries back in. Well, putting the batteries back in the starlight, well, that's a metaphor for ministry, don't you think? It's why we gather every Sunday. It's why we sing the same familiar hymns that make us feel in ways that give us energy. It's why we pray with. It's why we pray for one another. It recharges the starlights so that when the children come or when anyone comes to your house with the mindset of a child who seeks something special, who seeks the magic of a cat that they've just about gotten a chance to pet, well, they know where to find the starlight, and by then, it's fully charged. So the fully charged $1.50 flashlights that lay around our house are starlights. And they are starlights under which you find the baby Jesus. People who seek, people who hope, little kids just having fun catching the spirit. So you find starlights in the gifts where the value far exceeds the cost. You find the baby Jesus under the starlights of the things that we use to hide and seek. And you find, I think, a starlight in the twinkling of the eyes of Santa Claus. I know, this is church. I've never been all that fond of the idea that the sacred and secular, if you will, images of Christmas compete. I think they work in tandem with each other. I had a child ask a parent I knew some time back the direct question, do Santa and Jesus know each other? And this parent, who's our youngest daughter, said, hold that thought, I'm going to ask Papa. And I thought about it for a while, and I said, tell her that Santa and Jesus are very good friends. And they spend a lot of time together, whenever they can, talking about the children they both love, telling stories about the children they both love. And I saw a starlight on the videos, two videos this year, that have been all over the place of Santa, where it's clear to me that Santa had been talking to Jesus. One of them was a child who was brought to Sandon and had some trepidation about the big old fat guy in the beard and all that kind of thing, and the jingle bells. And the child, the best the child could do was to lay down in front of where Santa was, you know, maybe from here to where you are. And Santa got off of the big chair in whatever mall it was and laid down next to the child. And somebody got this on video. And they were sort of nose to nose. I don't know what they said, but I know that they were living under a starlight right there. And the other one was equally poignant in a very different way. A child was brought forward and climbed onto Santa's lap. And Santa kind of looked and said, well, what is it that you'd like for Christmas, or what have you done to get on the good list, or whatever Santa says. And it was the child didn't hear, because the child couldn't hear. And without missing a beat, Santa started doing this and reaching this child in sign language. And that child and Santa were bathed in starlight, because where does Jesus go but to meet us where we are? And that child got it and understood, I think, that that the season was a season of hope and love. You find the baby under the starlights, and sometimes we just have to think a little bit and pay a little closer, maybe a little closer attention than we usually do, and see the starlights for what they are. And it's important that we do everything we can to understand the purpose and power of the starlights. The moonlight, which will be unmistakable, and here's how important it is, living in the world that we do and the world as it is, in so many and various troubled ways. The nativity story in the Gospel according to St. John is really just two lines that matter. The first is the Word, and that's John's metaphor for Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I had an old theology professor that used to say, you know what, the Word always becomes flesh, or it doesn't say anything worth hearing, and that flesh is what we call the body of Christ, the church, that's you and me. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and one thing more. The light, the starlight, the moonlight, the light in Santa's eyes, the flashlight, the headlights that stop when the sign says pay it forward. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light wins every time. Merry Christmas.